Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just 4 days to go until the World Cup, with Scotland stepping up their final preparations for Haiti. Craig Gordon says he thought the chance to go to a World Cup had passed him by. Liam Kelly signs a new Rangers deal as Martin O'Neill is seen flying out of Glasgow Airport with no managerial announcement yet from Celtic. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Gordon DL.
Yeah, it's all about the World Cup. We're all excited. Starts on Thursday, but the big game is early Sunday morning. Great build-up to it last weekend. Looking forward to it. What will the team be? How will we play? What will we be attacking? Because I think we all agree the Euros in Germany was a bit disappointing. I think Steve Clarke's learned from that. And I'm looking for a big, big performance from Scotland.
Are you in the World Cup spirit? Are you feeling...
Loving it. I love it.
Does that hit you now, yeah?
Yeah, I think everybody gets excited with the World Cup. You'd watch any game that's on the TV, right? Because it's the World Cup. I'm just hoping it's an exciting World Cup. The attacking players, the goals, everything. I know that VAR has changed a lot of the rules. I wonder how that will affect teams and affect the style of the game going forward. But I just think that since a young boy growing up, watching the World Cup is a highlight.
I do love that theory of, you know, how normally at the World Cup, you watch every single game, you see every single one. This will be the real test, though, of how much you like football. Like, Iran versus New Zealand at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're not going to be there.
I think you're giving that one a miss. There'll be certain games that you can have a wee look at and think, no, that's probably not. And do you know something? No, the worst it is, you'll probably wake up the next morning and that would be the most exciting game and you've missed it. But listen, I just think they're brilliant games. I really do. I think I'll be attacking this year. I think it'll be a lot of goals. And do you know something? For the first time in a long, long time, I'm a bit excited about Scotland's chances.
Yeah,
I like the look of us. You just wonder, look, I don't take anything from friendlies. Thought we played well, we scored goals, we got a clean sheet. But look, I don't think they were in fourth gear. I think they were about two or three. But at the end of the day, you still have to have that warm-up, that preparation. I know there's a wee ongoing argument with Norway and stuff like that. I think Steve Clarke's 100% right to do what he's doing. If we can get off to a good start Sunday morning, if we can get off to a good start, I think we've got a great chance of qualifying this year.
You drink a silly number of coffees in a day anyway.
Yeah.
What's that going to look like for you caffeine-wise Saturday into Sunday?
This is going to look ridiculous. This is going to be probably through the roof, the amount of coffees I will be drinking, because I will be there with you 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Never have I ever worked from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So listen, it's Scotland. Everybody that can, I'll be up watching the game at 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
This is going to
hopefully be the listen to a show.
This is going to be the first thing you've ever done between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock that is broadcastable on national radio, and I think we will leave it at that. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Do you have that World Cup fever? Are you now feeling it? It's 4 days away until Scotland take on Haiti. So all the big questions: how confident are you feeling? Can Scotland get through the group? What did you learn from that Bolivia friendly? What does the team need to look like? Who has to start? What's the formation going to be like? Tell us your travel plans. Really interested to hear how people are getting there. Have you got tickets for any of the games? 0141 951 1025. Of course, domestic matters ticking along in the background. Martin O'Neill, there was a photo of him. I think he was going up the escalators, the departures at Glasgow Airport. No suggestion that that's him you know, going away from Celtic. Certainly, you know, the suggestion is that he has agreed to that 1 year deal. Mm-hmm. Still interesting. There's no announcement.
I think the Celtic fans would be a bit disappointed with that. I've said from day one, and the Scottish Cup convinced me. I watched Martin O'Neill, and I know that he's won the double there. The enjoyment, the excitement. He's a football man. Loves it. Absolutely loves it. Forget the age. I'm not interested in age. I think he's brilliant going forward. I think that it's the right decision, in my opinion. Now, yes, he's been seen at Glasgow Airport. He could be flying out. He could have arranged to do a couple of games in the World Cup. I don't know where he's going. He maybe just take a well-earned break and go a holiday like most managers and players do. But I'm a bit surprised that before he has got to Glasgow Airport, that announcement's not come out from Celtic. But I think it's a done deal.
Let's go to the phones. Ronnie is in Carluke. Ronnie, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling optimistic about our chances. But before I say my point, Gordon, I'd like to wish the women well tonight in their 4 o'clock qualifiers away to Israel. A win should be enough to seal us there.
Yeah, a really good win against Israel the other day means that Scotland in a really strong position to top the World Cup group. It's a bit different in the Women's World Cup qualifiers with Melissa Andreatta's side, because even if they top their group, it doesn't mean you automatically get through. It goes through to a playoff, but a win tonight against Israel, Belgium are up against Luxembourg, so a decent result for them tonight should see them top the group and get a good seeding in the playoff. But yeah, good shout from you, Ronnie. Speaking about the men's side and the World Cup coming up this weekend, what's given you that optimism?
My point to Gordon, the manager's got a couple of good decisions to make. Most of the players are in form, but I would play in the first game with definitely two strikers, because that's 8 goals in 2 games, and strikers have got more than half of them. Now, Shea Adams is the song and Lawrence Sanklin's the song. I'd probably start with two of them, with Gannon Doak on the wing, because he's a threat to any defence the way he's playing the news. So, yeah, two to start with. The last game in Miami, seemingly the weather meant to be very, very hot. So even with the drinks break, I hope to, you know, be fat enough to play in hot, humid weather. But the first game, two up front, definitely. Jay Adams and Shankland.
Does it seem to you it's almost a guarantee that Steve Clarke will go with the two up front? Yeah. And a back four. We've seen him play two up front with a back three quite a lot over his time as Scotland manager, but in more recent times it looks as if a lot of the friendlies and the way he's playing them are tailored towards playing a front two, getting at Haiti, trying to score goals, getting that early win if Scotland can get it, and putting ourselves in a really good position to get through.
I think he's learned one thing, right? We always looked at, he played a back three because he wanted Christian Robertson in the same team. And I can
Tierney.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
You said Christie.
Sorry, because I wrote Christie down there. That's my next point. Tierney in the same team. And I understand that because the two of them are excellent players. But I think he now realises he's got a system there. I don't think Tierney will start. I think it'll probably be along the same lines. It'll be a back four. I totally agree with Ronnie. The two up top. You know, Shankland is just a goal scorer, right? And he can score at any level. You give him the opportunity, he'll score. He's on a high. He's got a big move to Rangers this season. He was a Rangers fan. He always wanted to play. So he's in a great position. Shea Adams has come off a, you know, I think he scored against Juventus as well in the last game. He's really, really confident. The two guys here, Gannon Doak on the wing has been excellent, gives us that pace, energy. The big questions in that Scotland team's got to be simple for me. Two ones. Who's going to be the goalkeeper, right? Does he go with Craig Gordon or does he go with Gunn? And I think who drops out for McGinn? That's the big two questions for me. I think the rest of the team will be the team that played at the weekend.
So for you, the midfield four is going to be Ben Gannon Doak, Scott McTominay, John McGinn plus one,
yeah,
which means that it is either
Ferguson or Christie.
Ferguson or Christie are the two options. Yeah. How does that, if you're the manager going into that game, how do you play that? Because there are players that can play different positions. We've seen John McGinn play off the side. He's done it for Aston Villa and he's done it very well at times. He's done it for Scotland, maybe slightly further forward. But Ryan Christie is also capable of playing, you know, central. We've seen him do that at Bournemouth successfully. Doesn't tend to do it for Scotland. It's a bit of a jigsaw to try and get it working.
It's massive. And I wouldn't be surprised if he'd maybe dropped two and brought in Kenny McLean because he loves him. But I just think that, you've got to get John McGinn in the team, right? He's massive for Scotland. McTominay's your stick on. Gannon Doak, for me, just gives us that width, that pace, gives by people. If you've got two strikers in the box, you need to create chances. He's a guy, no doubt about it.
So he gets the nod ahead of Finlay Curtis
you? Yeah, all day long, all day long. I think young Finlay Curtis is a terrific player, but Gannon Doak, all day long for me on the right-hand side. Two strikers up top. It's who he leaves out. I think he's going to have a big, big decision. I think he'll either leave Christie or Ferguson out. That's a massive shout.
Who are the two central defenders for you?
The two that started the night, I think he'll go with Hannah. Yeah, and Henry. I think that the two of them, look, I know that Hanley never played a lot of Hibs, injury-wise and stuff like that, but he likes him, and I think he does well in the Scotland trip. And Henry, and they had a clean sheet, and he mentioned that the minute he went into his interview, he mentioned about the clean sheet as well. I think that'll be the same back four. Decision, goalkeeper, and who drops out for John McGinn. That's my opinion.
Ronnie, that optimism that you've got, what would it mean if Scotland could get that win against Haiti and manage to get through the group stages of a major tournament for the first time ever?
Well, it would be the clip of a lift for us, but also, it's horses for courses. When you play the two main teams, Morocco and Brazil, they probably no play two up front because these are, with all due respect to Haiti, these are far better teams than Haiti. So they maybe play something like 4-4 and then John McGinn in front of the one striker, because that's the two big games. But against Haiti, it's a must win. You don't want to put yourself under any pressure.
Yeah, Steve Clarke also didn't rule out the fact that he could play a back three at times in this tournament, and you wonder what that looks like, whether that is against Morocco, whether it is against Brazil. And another thing Ronnie brings up is the heat. We've seen the videos of the Scotland players training. We've seen some of the games over there. There are water breaks. Some of the games are maybe going to look a bit different, and some of the teams that are high energy maybe won't be able to keep that up for a long time. So it's about managing not only, you know, what personnel you have on the pitch, what your formation is, but it's game management for the heat as well, and making sure that you're conserving energy at the right times and going for it at the right times.
One of the biggest things over in the World Cup this year for me, especially with Scotland, is the substitutions. Because you're right, I think guys will get to a certain level, a certain time, the heat would kick in and you've got to freshen it up. I like the fact of the squad that Steve Clarke's picked, because you rightly said there, as a manager, you've got to have a squad that can adapt. If you play another team and you think a back three is the way to go, then you've got the personnel to play that. We were struggling with personnel to play the 4-4-2 type thing because Gannon Doak wasn't in, he'd been injured, and we were playing midfield players. But you see the difference when you've got a natural winger, Andrew. He's got pace, he's direct, he causes full, and he's full of confidence. He doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him who he comes up against. He believes in his own ability. So, and Finlay Curtis can come on there. Ross Stewart can play in the left-hand side as well. So what he's done is he's picked a squad that is now changeable of formations. He can go with the three and feel comfortable. He can go 4-4-2. He can go 4-3-3. So he's got plenty of options there. And I think because of the Euros and what happened, I think the first game you will see a very attacking side.
Thank you to Ronnie. What about Malcolm, who's up next on the phones? Malcolm, what's that Haiti game looking like for you?
I totally disagree with everything Gordon says there, because I believe...
Everything.
At the
Thank you, Malcolm.
Honestly, because I think the way Haiti set up, they're a standard 4-4-2, but then they pull their slightly wide players in, so there's overlapping runners, and they're like 4 and 5 are pretty fluid. So I would say we're going to go 3-5-2, or it's a 3-5-1-1, I would say.
Scotland.
Yes, Scotland, they're going to play Shankland for a start. Shea Adams will be a one up front. We Ben Garney go. And from we're in possession, he goes wide and creates the width. And I would say Kenny McLean's got to be your sitting number six, because I think he's the best number six we've got.
I'll tell you what, Malcolm, I totally disagree with everything you've just said, right?
You know the one thing I love about Malcolm? That's truly in the World Cup spirit. Malcolm's telling you exactly how Haiti are going to play. He knows tactically how Haiti are going to line up.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And listen, at the end of the day, if Malcolm is right and Scotland won, I'll applaud Malcolm. I'm quite happy with that. It's only a matter of opinions. I do think he'll stick with the four, right?
The fact that he's been doing that in the friendlies, Malcolm, he's been playing that 4-4-2, you know, starting with that in those games, does that maybe look as if that's tailored towards the Haiti game and he's testing it out and fine-tuning it?
I believe that's more tailored towards the Morocco and Brazil games than the way they set up, to be quite honest.
Malcolm, do me a favour, phone back here on Tuesday. Please phone back here on Tuesday.
Well, I was going to say, if I'm right, we'll hear a wee bit here. Come on, we'll put it on it. A wee something to cash for kids or something. Come on.
Okay, then. A wee tenner or something?
A wee tenner. Come on. I'm back at 20 then. Come on. Surely.
A 20, right? Okay, go 20.
There we go.
I'm quite happy with that.
It's for charity. We don't mind that.
It's for cash for kids, Malcolm. Listen, if we won and you're right with your formation and your team, I am delighted to hand over a 20 of the cash for kids and I'll pat you in the back. But I don't think that's going to happen with the formation.
That one striker that you said is going to start, Malcolm, or was it Ben Ganandoke up top with Shea Adams? Was that what you felt?
Out of possession, he goes wide and we create the five in midfield, and the Shea Adams is our target man, and he, Ben Ganandoke, goes wide and creates the space when we're in possession.
Lauren Shankland has been playing and scoring goals.
Hold on, Malcolm. Sorry. So you're playing a three. Who's your two wing backs?
I'm going to play Andy Robertson.
Right. As one round the left. Who's your right wing back?
Hickey.
Right. Okay. Who's your midfield three?
My midfield three, I've got to put a forward, I've got to put in the middle.
Kenny McLean.
Kenny McLean's my number six.
It's got to be McTominay and McGinn, surely.
It's got to be McTominay and McGinn. McGinn can pull the right for he does for Aston Villa and that kind of formation.
Right, okay. And you've got
Doak supporting Adams up top.
Where's Doak playing?
He'll play, from we are out of possession, he'll tuck in wide. But from we're in possession, he'll create the space. He'll pull out wide.
I'm starting to think that Malcolm is advertising to be the next Scotland manager. He's got 4 years until Clark's contract.
Let me tell you now, without a shadow of a doubt, Malcolm will be given cash for kids 20 quid, 100%. He ain't playing that formation with Doak and that. Sorry, I'm not having that.
You've taken a note, have you, Gordon?
What did you say?
You've taken a note of it, have you?
Yeah, I've taken a note of it. I know your team, everything. Listen, Malcolm, see if I did play that team, we won.
And this has all been recorded, by the way. We can't just
I would love it, but I don't think he's going to play that team, mate. I'm sorry.
And I'm going to go for a one or a two now, and it's got to be a tragic affair, to be quite honest. But it gives us the win that we're a player.
Right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to double your money. If you get that right, I'll put 40 in, okay?
All right, buddy, I like the sound of that.
Top man, son.
Right,
cheers.
Thank you to Malcolm. I'm not sure that'll be the end of Malcolm and Gordon DL across this World Cup period. The two of you will be having regular conversations, I think.
Love it. I love the way that Malcolm's, you said it.
He's passionate about Scotland.
He's in the spirit. He's got his team there. He's got his tactics. He's looking at the opposition. That's what the World Cup does to you. It grabs you, the excitement and everything, looking forward to it.
Thank you to Malcolm. Keep your calls coming. 0141 951 1025. Scotland's women are 1-0 up away to Israel. Of course, it is Caroline Weir that has the goal, so that will have Scotland looking good to finish top of their World Cup qualifying group and getting a good seeding in the playoff if they can continue that. And it's Gordon DL's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You have been, first of all, getting a bit of traction on social media today specifically that we'll get on to a bit later on in the show. But You smiled there when I said that because you thought I was going to bring up the fact that you're 3 wins from 3 on Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, and people are coming on here and getting donuts.
Getting zeros.
Yeah, so they're panicking. They're panicking against me.
This is a chance for you to try and put an end to Gordon DL's winning run, to try and put an end to the fact that people keep on coming on air and getting a zero against Gordon DL. Come on air, give him a tougher challenge than he's had over the past couple of weeks. 0141 951 1025. You can play Beat the Pundit next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is just 4 days to go. Is it 4.5 days technically?
Something like that
until Scotland kick off. It's confusing me slightly just because the game's at 2 a.m, but it's fine. 4 days it is until the World Cup. So any thoughts on Scotland, get them in. 0141 951 1025. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You are here to protect your 100% record. We saw Marvin Bartley had a 100% record throughout the whole of last season. Maybe not as impressive doing it throughout the summer, shorter time period, but it's not.
I'm on fire.
You've started well.
I've started well. It's because I'm sort of relaxed with the summer one. I don't really bother with it. If I win, I win. If I don't, then fine. I've not got a problem. I hope somebody comes on and beats me tonight, because just winning's boring all the time, isn't it?
Jack is in Greenock. Jack, are you going to beat him?
I'll give him my best shot, absolutely.
Ah, Jack, come on. Let's see what you've got.
Have you played before, Jack?
No, I've not. It's my first time, so listen in most nights, so.
Many do you usually get, Jack?
Oh, it's a mixed bag, to be honest. I've been known to get donuts and then sometimes sort of 4 or 5. So,
You do know everybody's listening to you, Jack. So, if you got a donut tonight, it's a bit embarrassing.
Mind games are starting from Gordon DL. It's all about the pressure when you get through on air, but we'll see how Jack can handle it. He sounds relaxed.
Come on, Jack.
Not a problem. We'll see how we go.
There we go.
I'm rooting for you, son.
Right, we'll put something else in the ear of Gordon DL so he can't hear us. For you, Jack, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Oh, yeah, all good. Thanks.
Let's go for it. Name either Scotland player who scored away at Norway in 2023.
Dykes.
What number will Lauren Shankland wear for Rangers?
10.
In what year did Celtic reach the UEFA Cup final?
1966.
Which English club did Marvin Bartley play the most games for?
No idea, QPR.
Who won the 2014 World Cup?
2014. I can't remember, France.
Okay, we will bring Gordon DL back in. Can you hear us, Gordon?
It was some 30 seconds, was it not?
The same 30 seconds, sure, as always. You complain about it every single time, right, and it never changes. Right, yeah, 30 seconds, okay. The same 30 seconds for Gordon DL. Let's go. Name either Scotland player who scored away at Norway in 2023.
Billy Gilmore.
What number will Lauren Shankland wear for Rangers?
9.
In what year did Celtic reach the UEFA Cup final?
2002.
Which English club did Marvin Bartley play the most games for?
Bournemouth.
Who won the 2014 World Cup?
Spain.
Who won the most Premiership Manager of the Month awards last season?
Premiership, McInnes.
How do you think it went, Jack?
Well, I think it's one of those donut evenings, I think, tonight, unfortunately.
Well, I could have had a donut as well. That wasn't clever.
It could be a tiebreak. I think it could be a 0-0.
I don't think either of you sounded too confident, but we'll go through them. Name either Scotland player who scored away at Norway in 2023. Of course, it's topical because of the dispute with Norway at the moment. You've gone Billy Gilmore, who rarely scores goals ever.
Yeah.
It wasn't Billy Gilmore. It was such a memorable game. Do you remember it? Norway.
I'm off, actually.
1-0. And it was Kenny McLean and Lyndon Dykes, as Jack said. So he was 1-0.
Oh, donut, Jack.
Up.
I may have.
I'm happy with that.
So an early lead. What number will Lauren Shankland wear for Rangers? Neither of you got this one. 10. Jack went for 10. You went for 9.
It's not 8, is it?
The answer's 7.
7?
7 is what he's going to wear. So it's still 1-0 to Jack. And what
year did
Celtic reach the UEFA Cup final? These two answers were both all sorts of rubbish, because Jack went, I think he was thinking of the Champions League final or European Cup final. So he was going back. I can't remember specifically what he said, but he went for somewhere in the 60s. I don't think he said 67, but he said somewhere in the 60s. He said 66.
Did you say the European Cup final?
UEFA Cup final.
UEFA Cup final.
Remember, Martin O'Neill
was
the manager. And you said, well, what you should have said...
2002.
You said 2002.
Ah, that's 2002.
Nobody has ever said 2002.
That's the way I say it.
No, it's not.
Right, 2002.
Okay, well, it's 2003, so it doesn't matter. Oh! Anyway, but 2002 is just a mad way of saying anything. Which English club did Marvin Bartley play the most games for? Jack went for QPR. You went for Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
He played for Bournemouth, Burnley and Leyton Orient.
Oh, no.
And he played the most games for Bournemouth. You got it correct. I'm actually quite impressed you got that. Who won the 2014 World Cup?
It's Germany.
It is Germany, and neither of you got it. That's so it is terrible. One all.
A final question.
Jack didn't get any more questions in.
Oh.
Gordon DL did.
Who was it? Can't remember.
Who won the most Premiership Manager of the Month awards last season?
McInnes.
It's no Martin O'Neill, is it?
You said Derek McInnes.
Oh, it could be Martin O'Neill.
Could it have been Martin O'Neill? Could it have been Jens Bertolascu?
Oh, forgot about him.
Could have been either of them, but it was Derek McInnes. And Gordon DL.
That was a bad one, Jack.
2-1. It is a scrappy win, but you know what? He keeps his 100% record up. Unlucky, Jack.
Well done.
Jack, at least you didn't get a zero. I was panicking there, Jack.
I'm happy with that, to be honest.
Oh, that was a digging away from home and a winter night with the rain and the pitch heavy. I had to really dig in there, Jack. But once again,
cold, rainy Tuesday at Stoke, but you got the job done. And Jack will need to phone in again if he wants to get a Beat the Pundit signed ball.
Unlucky, Jack.
Yeah, nice one. Right, thanks for having me on.
Cheers, mate.
We'll be playing again tomorrow night, as usual. What I was going to say is that you have been all over social media today. You're not really big on social media.
No.
You're not really on Twitter much, are you?
I'm not on Twitter.
But the interview that you did years ago that we talked about on this show that went viral because some of the answers in it are just absolutely ludicrous has been doing the rounds again. How are you feeling about the fact that this is back?
Look, I don't know why, right? One, I can't even remember doing that interview, right? I don't even know if it was me. Secondly, if I did do the interview, it's a little bit of laugh, a little bit of humour. There we go. And then, look.
Oh, there we go. We've got it on the big screen behind us on the live stream. Such classics as worst moment of your career, signing for Thistle. The fans hated me from day one and still do. I'd love to sign for them again just to score hundreds of own goals and get them relegated.
Right, see.
It's the thought process of a child.
I know. I was a 2-year-old. But let me tell you something, all the Partick Thistle fans that listen to this show, I was rooting for Partick Thistle all year this year. I was desperate for them to go up into Premier League.
Next question. Fans you hate the most: Partick Thistles, followed by those of Partick Thistles Reserve, followed by those of Partick Thistles Boys Club. You've really got a lot of undoing to do with the Partick Thistles supporters.
I love the Thistle. I love the Jags. It was a joke. At that time, they used to give me absolutely pelters, honestly. And listen, rightly so, I was terrible at Thistle, but some of the Partick Thistle fans realise I'm on their side.
Yeah,
and I can't understand. Look,
this. It's before any sort of media training.
When was that? Right, Raith Rovers. So Raith Rovers must be. When did I play with Raith Rovers?
I don't know why you're asking me. It was you that played.
1994.
1987.
I signed and I left in 1994 after the cup final. 1994-95 season after the cup final against Celtic. So come on, guys, it's a joke. I can't even remember.
It is. It's a fantastic interview. If you haven't read it through before, go online, go on Twitter. I think we've posted a video of when Gordon DL previously talked about it. It's fantastic.
Do you know what I hate? Right, see if you're going to put something out there on Twitter, get it right. There's a guy there. He was right. I used to get into Jack Daniels because an ex-Partick...
These are people replying to the tweet today.
Yeah, and ex-player Tommy Hara, who ran, who was the manager of Jack Daniels and played with Thistle, and I travelled with Tommy, and he says he used to drink straight vodka. I've never drank vodka. So, I you know, Have a go. Slag me or whatever.
I like how that's the pedantry is just that's not what I drank. Yeah, I used to drink. And also you were married to a girl in his year at school, according to Alistair, but it was a slightly different drink that I used to drink.
Okay, now listen, it's just it says here, I get the impression he's not too fond of party. I think the world of party, I'm rooting for party because I think they've got a fantastic manager. Take a bit. Listen, it's light-hearted.
And you'll be rooting for Stenhouse Muir this season because Marvin Bartley announced as the manager today, spoke to him today, says that he's not going anywhere though on Super Scoreboard. He's still going to be your mate. He's still going to come on the show. But well, please for him to get back in so quickly.
Brilliant for a big guy. We done the show last Wednesday. He was in great form just off the plane from holiday. I think he had a few sherbets. So he was in absolutely brilliant form. I sent him a wee text just saying, when do I start as the number two? I'm a bit disappointed he's not answered yet, but I'm sure he'll get back to me. But great to see him back in the game. Listen, I love to see that. Guys that I work with, guys that I've got a good sort of understanding with. Mark, what a job he done at Thistle last season. So unlucky. And I'll be rooting for Partick Thistle, Stenhouse Muir. So I might write another column about... I'll tell you what, I'll write another column about teams that I did play for.
Right, let's go back to the phone, shall we? Paul, oh, this is what I like to see. Paul is near Baton Rouge in Louisiana. Paul, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Tell us a story then. Are you? Is that where you live now?
I have been living out here for about 10 and a half years. Nice to see you, Andrew, and nice to see you, Gordon or Dazzler, whatever you prefer.
Ah, okay, listen, you call me. I've been called worse. Dodge the mark.
He's been called a lot worse. Yeah, Paul, just... how excited are you, having lived there for that period, that Scotland are at a World Cup, where you know, over in America, it's way more accessible for you now? What are your plans? Are you getting along to the games?
Yes, I'm going to all the games in the group.
Brilliant. How much are you looking forward to it?
I'm over the moon about it. I'm super excited, but my wallet is really burning.
I think you're not alone, Paul.
I'll tell you what, you know, even just a hotel is outrageous.
Because there is that, there's a serious side to it that we've seen the pricing of the tickets from FIFA. Paul talks about what the... you know, how much it costs for hotels and people getting flights over there for the Tartan Army to go over, or even people like Paul who are based more locally to the World Cup. It just shows the commitment of the Scotland supporters that thousands are willing to spend that money to go over, to give the team that support and essentially just kind of repay the players for everything they've done in getting us to a World Cup for the first time in 28 years.
I think you've got to applaud the supporters for that. And I hope they're giving something back from the players. You know, the Euros were disappointed. We were disappointed in the Euros. But that's behind us. I think we've learned from that. Paul's right. The cost of tickets is an absolute scandal. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. You always know that hotels have got to lump the prices up because that's what they can do. I don't agree with it, but listen, see, for fans going over there, and they'll be going over there in their thousands, they'll be travelling from everywhere, the cost of money, you have got to applaud these people because they just love watching their country in a World Cup.
Yeah, Paul, geographically, what does that mean for you in terms of travelling up to Boston and then down to Miami? What's that planning been like?
Right, so where I come from, I have to get a short flight to Houston, 45 minutes. So I'm going west before I can go east.
Right, okay, so what do you do after that when you arrive there?
Oh yeah, so he's having to go Louisiana to Texas to then go... That's quite a... It's a strange route, actually. But I suppose you just kind of need to take what you can get.
Is that the cheapest way for you to do it, Paul? Yeah, I take it.
No, it's the safest way for me and the wife and the children. And the children are 23 and 24, but we're all going to the first game.
That must be great as well, being able to share it with your kids, because it is the first time Scotland have been at a World Cup in their lifetime. Is it great being able to share that with them and get them into the World Cup spirit?
Yes, but it's safer flying than it is driving. I mean, the roads the high, the whatever you want to call it, the motorways in America are like six lanes, and it's like wacky races.
It's a long old way to. But then again, it's the commitment that even, and it also just shows how, you know, how far this tournament is spread across Mexico, Canada, USA, that even Paul, who lives in the US, is having to fly from one state to another to then go up to Boston for those games and then fly back down to Miami. It's a huge commitment even for the people that, you know, seem a lot closer to it.
Do you know what's great about that? And Paul will not be alone here. Paul is sharing these moments, these memories with his family. You know what I mean? They're all gone there. His wife's gone, his kids, well, 23 and whatever it is. But he's sharing, and that's what happens when the you get to the World Cup. As you say, we've not been for a long, long time, and we were desperate to be there. And yes, it's very pricey. Of course it is. And as I said earlier, the commitment from the Scotland supporters to go there and give those players the support, I'm just hoping those players can give the supporters something back. And I'm very confident, Andrew, that they can.
Thank you to Paul. Safe travels. I hope you enjoy your World Cup. And speaking of World Cup plans, we are looking ahead to a massive week for Scotland, and Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live from Radio on Sucky Hall Street this Friday night. It's a Boston-themed bar, perfect for a World Cup pre-party. The night before the game, the night before it all kicks off, Hugh Keevan, Scott Allen and I will be building up to Scotland's game against Haiti. So why not head along and get involved in the show from 6 o'clock? Normally you would phone in, but you can actually come along to Radio on Sucky Hall Street. You can join us, you can get a microphone, you can put your point straight to Hugh Keevan, straight to Scott Allen, you can play Beat the Pundit live, so you can actually come along and say whatever you would normally say to Hugh Keevan's on the phone. You can say it to his face, and I'm sure he won't mind. He'll have a go back at you, I'm sure. Plus, if you're going over to the US, come along to the greatest bar in Boston. That's actually what it's called. I'm not labelling it the greatest bar in Boston. It's actually called the greatest bar in Boston. On Thursday afternoon, Gabriel Antoniazzi will be there for the show, looking from your points from 1 o'clock local time ahead of the game. Back here on Sunday morning, Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live from the Tap Yard at Merchant City Square from 1 a.m, bringing you all the action for Haiti against Scotland. Gordon Dale, you will be there. Tony Watt will be there. I'll be there as well, covering the game. Gabriel Antoniazzi will be on the ground reporting too. So whatever you're doing for the World Cup, Clyde One Super Scoreboard has you covered when it comes to Scotland.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Not long left on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean. So any final thoughts, get us on 0141 951 1025. Graham is a Rangers fan in Springburn. I think you've got points on Rangers and Scotland. Graham, you can choose where you want to start.
Yeah, so just start with Glasgow Rangers. It was about the extension for Liam Kelly as a goalkeeper. I think the guy deserves more game time. I don't think there's much between him and Jack Butland as goalkeepers, if I'm honest, and I just feel that he deserves more game time, whether he gets the runs in both cups, all joking aside, not that we get to the final or anything, but I do think that he should get more game time. And I have heard through the grapevine that Butland might be away and talking to boy Charles come in. He's an Northern Irish international, plays with Sheffield Wednesday or something as well.
Yeah, Pierce Charles, I don't know whether that is happening or not. He's certainly someone I've seen linked with it. I don't know what how concrete that is or not. Just on the point about Liam Kelly, I think only played 3 times last season in all competitions, 2 Scottish Cup games, 1 League Cup game, really hasn't played much at all. But clearly Danny Rule thinks that, you know, he's got a goalkeeper there that he feels is a reliable number two. I suppose one of the most important things about being a number two goalkeeper is that you're okay with that. If you're going to be second in command and you're going to, you know, be the deputy, Liam Kelly seems like the type of character that is okay with that and is good in the dressing room. You see the fact that he's in pretty much every single Scotland squad. Mm-hmm. I think Steve Clarke feels that way about him as well, that he's just a good sort of character to have around the place and is then reliable when he's asked to come in and do a job.
Yeah, some people, look, the goalkeeping situation is very difficult because you can only play as a goalkeeper. If you're an outfield player, you can maybe play wide in one, you could maybe play off a striker, you could play different positions in the back three, back four, whatever it may be, but goalkeepers are completely different. Look, he's number two at Rangers, and he's number three for me at Scotland just now. he is a decent keeper. I really think he is a good goalkeeper. He could easily go out and be a number one somewhere, right? But he looks like he's happy enough to say, no, he'll probably be on a good contract. I think he's very reliable indeed. He's a Scotland internationalist and he's happy to sit there and be a part of the Rangers squad. That's up to Liam Kelly. Me personally, I would go and try and play games because it is a short career, and when you look...
No, you wouldn't. If it was you, like, back in the day, and you got offered the chance to earn money and not play any games, that's the ideal scenario for you.
Okay, take me out of the equation. I think most players, yeah, would like to go and obviously play and look back in their career and say, you know, good moments, good memories. But Liam Kelly's at a massive club. He loves it. He must be, you know, if happy to get into the training where the facilities are top class. He is with a club. He's still in the Scotland squad. Listen, he signed a new contract. It's all about financial security because you've got houses, you've got mortgages, you've got family to look after. And Liam Kelly might just find that that's the right route for him.
What do you think will happen with Jack Butland? Graham was saying he's not sure about Jack Butland's future, whether he'll remain at Rangers or not. Maybe had a few shaky moments last season. Do you see him continuing? Is that an area you think Danny Rule will address? Are there more pressing issues?
Yeah, I think Butland will start as the number one goalkeeper next season as well. If somebody does come in for him, everybody's got their price, everybody's got their worth. They might look at that. Obviously, they might look at the fact that Jack Butland will be on a big wage at Rangers. And it'll be up to the manager and he'll decide that if it's a case of, yeah, we can replace Jack Butland with a younger goalkeeper, we've got a good backup goalkeeper. So it'll be interesting to see, but I've just got a funny feeling that Jack Butland will be there. Jack Butland's a very good goalkeeper. I know he didn't have the great season, but he's a very good goalkeeper.
What were your thoughts on Scotland, Graham?
Just like everybody else in the country, absolutely buzzing for the World Cup to start. I looked at the first few fixtures and I'm a bit underwhelming, to be honest. The Scotland game and the Morocco-Brazil game, that looks the pick of the bunch at the start. But I just, when you were saying earlier that you guys are going to be on it, was it 5 in the morning? Then it's Sunday morning.
One till five in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Already trying to work out what that open line is going to sound like at 4 o'clock. In the morning.
I'm worried.
How many of those calls do you think we're actually going to get allow on air?
I don't think we'll allow a lot. Look, I think there'll be a lot if we get a positive result. I think the country will be absolutely buzzing. I do. So I'm looking forward to it. It will be a hard shift, 1 o'clock to five, but we're professionals. That's what we do.
Graham, given the performances and the recent friendlies, what you've seen from Scotland, are you feeling good going into that Haiti game? Can Scotland get that result?
Aye, absolutely. I think we were all taken aback a wee bit when Haiti cubs New Zealand 4-0, but I watched their game the other night against Peru for my sins, staying up at that time of night, and they weren't great. Although, to be fair, they only conceded the last two goals when they made a few subs, but if you can't beat Haiti, you know what I mean, we're not going to face any easier. Don't put ourselves under pressure. Win the first game for a change. I think we're more than capable. And like I say, I'll be tuning in at 4, strolling outside the pub to listen to the shenanigans on here. If we get the result, it could be brilliant.
Because the point that Graham makes is a good one, because even if, you know, some people will have watched Haiti's games recently, because that's what you do in the build-up when Scotland are in a World Cup, and Haiti may look a better side than some people will have thought, but they're still the lowest seeded team in the group. And if Scotland are to get through, you just need to beat them, no matter how good or bad they seem in their warm-up games. You just, simple task, we'll need to beat them.
We'll be devastated if we don't. We have to, I totally agree with Graham. We've got to get off to a good start and build confidence. Morocco and Brazil, yes, difficult games, but we are Scotland and we're used to maybe throwing up that odd result, that draw, and that would be enough. If we could get a point out of either game, it would be enough.
Thank you to Graham on the line. Thank you to Gordon DL. Thank you for listening at home, watching on the live stream and listening back on the podcast too. Of course, we have big plans for the World Cup, so make sure to stay tuned on Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the next few weeks. We will be giving you all the action with Scotland's big group stage games coming up and hopefully beyond that too. Stick around tonight because it is Callum Gallagher that is up next.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.